John 1:14. No, we've been looking at the fellowship of the Father. What did he make available? In the incarnation, there was a lesson of vital truth about God in the incarnation. Now, look at John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 14. It says, and the Word, whom he had called God in verse 1, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Obviously, this verse, you and I cannot quote it as a confession. It's a historical fact. The Word dwelt amongst us. The us are the apostles. So we are watching the witness. So they're going to give us a story in a moment. The Word dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. He says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. I mean, imagine they want to summarize a man they saw. Say, full of grace. Full of giving. They never saw him demand. He was full of grace. John summarized him. He said, this man, what we saw the glory as one begotten of the Father. He's full of grace. John had a way of writing. In verse 18, he said, no man had seen God at any time, except the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had explained him. So grace and giving explains God. He is not a demanding God. He's a giving God. He says, we beheld that glory. And then they began to write what they saw. The things they saw that made them say he was full of grace. You know, we tell people, well, that guy is a wonderful fellow. He's very, he's very this, he's very that. He's great. However, sometimes, I remember a couple I wanted to cancel. So I asked both of them to stay in different rooms and write about each other. The wife had a full page what she didn't like. The husband wrote nothing. So I asked them to read what they wrote. She had a lot of things. Well, he's good, but however, I wish during weekends he does this, he does that. Some guys just complain. You know. So we have things like that, but so how can you just say that guy is just good? He also, sometimes, he's human. He's human. He's human. So he has his own frailties. They didn't see that with Jesus. They said he was full of grace, which is the truth. And then they began to write Matthew about him. About him. What did they say about him? What was so gracious? Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. He dispelled every thinking about God. Matthew Gospel chapter 4. And verse 23, he says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. Sorry, all Galilee. Teaching in their synagogues, he says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse disease and torment, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. They saw that. He was full of giving. Because healing is the Father's gift. He was full of giving. Healing is different from medical cure. In medical cure, they tell you, use this, use that, at this time. And sometimes it has side effects. When I used to be an anointed malaria carrier, I was anointed for it. And I had other sicknesses like that. That when I went to the hospital, Queen's Hospital, Dubai, Ibadan, when I get there, the moment I got in there, the nurse would say, you are welcome. And then they won't say anything, and I'll go to the ward and lie down there to be admitted. It was What do you call it? It's not inspired. It was a flow. And they say, what did you do? What did you know? What did you not do? What did you do? Oh, you should have done this. That is not what we're talking about. Don't get used to seeing healing that way. Healing is gracious. Hallelujah. He went about. And he healed the sick. When I recall the first time I was healed of a terminal case or a incurable disease, 26 years ago, I did not know much about healing. All I heard was a song that reminded me. Of course, I'd seen miracles in meetings and all that. Where I'm not misorganized, but I went and I saw it. So when I was told that I had a kidney disease that couldn't cure, and my mom was there, my dad was there, and I saw in their eyes that they could not help the matter, I knew I had to remember what God could do. And that's why it's not like you go and build. No. I just remembered that Dom Wendt sang a song. I think I know where the scripture was, but I found it somehow. You are the Lord that healed me. And my mind just forgot any kind of evil God. I was not ready for arguments. It's not at that point I want to know what happened to Job. I was not interested in Job. I was interested in myself. You are the Lord that healed me. Sometimes that is all a man needs to know. He needs not be a Christian. He needs not be filled with the Spirit. Because he is full of grace. He's full of grace. I can't forget. Many times, many of you know it. Those who may not even eventually believe the gospel you preach will get healed as you minister. Have you seen that before? We had a conference, Miracles Extraordinary, 1998. And a woman came up, an Elijah. And she said, my daughter got healed. Though I'm a Muslim, she said it in front of the church. But thank Jesus Christ. Because he's full of grace. Hallelujah. He's full of grace. He doesn't want anybody sick. Jesus couldn't stand people sick. He didn't say, what's wrong with you? When you are playing for Chelsea. That would not be an accusation. That would be a rebuke. He didn't say that. It didn't matter what they had done wrong. He had compassion on them because he was full of grace and truth. The same thing was said about in Matthew 9:35. And so in Acts 2, when Peter was preaching on the popular day of Pentecost, Acts 2, look at verse 22. Peter says, look, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. And you yourselves know. You know, Peter was emphatic. In the midst of you, you yourselves know. So the graciousness of God revealed through Christ was not controversial. In fact, they told him, for the works you do, we have no problem. Was gracious. Jesus never put sickness on anybody. Jesus took sickness away from people. And he still does the same. In Acts 10:38, he says, how God, this was the story all over Judea, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How do you hear this? And you say, God is trying people with sickness. What is wrong with you? How would you read this and imagine that? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, Because God was with him. So when God is working, there can't be oppression. God is in the business, the work of removing oppression. And sickness is one of it. A headache, a backache, a kidney problem, a liver condition, an eye problem. It becomes a disease. A pain, illness. The healing all. So it's a healing all. And he said to them in John 14, verse 12, he that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. This was in the resurrection, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So healing is a post-resurrection reality of Christ. Miracles, that will I do because I go to my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He does that. Jesus, you do the study. In the four Gospels, about 20% of the activities of Christ to 30% was healing the sick. What more do you need to know about God than the fact that when he came to the earth, he was busy healing the sick without license from doctors. Healing the sick. Whether it was fever or blood condition, deafness or dumbness or blindness or liver condition or bone diseases, it made no difference. He healed the sick. And so, in the incarnation, healing shows us the character of God. It's the character of God. That upon, when he, two times, or maybe once now, when he sent out his disciples, the 12, a major thing he told them, heal the sick. Preach and tell them the kingdom of God is here. That is, heal the sick. Preach that the kingdom of God is here. In other words, healing carries the identity of the power of God. The identity of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why you can never allow people's experiences. Now, I've observed that some people who preach and argue that healing is a past tense and all that. And we're bringing out a book on that a couple of months now. From now, the charismatic ministry. But before I go in there, I discovered that most of the arguments are based on people's experiences. People, what happened to that man of God? He was a healing evangelist. Why was he sick? How does that invalidate the words of Christ? How does that invalidate what is seen in the scriptures? The word of God is superior to people's testimonies. Superior to the experiences. Hallelujah. Are you there? That's why I tell people, never criticize the power of God. You may never know when you need it to work. Never. 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 Criticize the power of God. I'll get to that shortly. So, when he rose from the dead, he told the disciples, say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes in his baptism shall be saved. He that believes shall be condemned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. He says, they will cast out demons. Demons are not friends. They are oppressors. So they will cast them out. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly, they shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. And the sick should recover. That's why in the book of Acts 2:43, it says, signs and wonders was done by the apostles. Then in chapter 3, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, they met a man at the beautiful gate. And he says, That guy expected to receive something from Peter and John. And he said, look on us. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Hallelujah. I don't have money for diagnosis. Come on. Got no money to send you abroad. But such as I have. Hallelujah. Such as I have, I give unto you. Then he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Glory to God. And they asked him, what happened? Peter said, in verse 16, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man walk whole and sound. As his name changed value. As his name changed power. See, you know, after 2,000 years of being raised from the dead and sitting right at the Father, the old thing should have, you know, the name is growing old. So what it used to do then, it can't do again. You know, the name is very weak. It's moving small, small now. The name now uses a walking stick. No! 1,000,000 times no! It's the same name. If I can believe in the same name for salvation, then I should believe in the same name for healing. If I can't trust God on healing, why should I trust Him with my salvation? Why should I trust Him for my eternity? But glory to God. I said, glory to God. He's the same God with the same story. Yesterday, beyond today, forever you will still remain the same God with the same story. From glory to glory, we will pray. He's the same God. He's the same God. With the same yesterday, beyond today. Yesterday, beyond today. Forever you will still remain. You're the same God. With the same story. From glory to glory. One more time, come on. You're the same, you're the same.
Same God.
We're the same. Same, 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 same. Beyond today, forever you will still remain. You're the same God. With the same story. Oh, from for the last time, come on. We will. Same God, same God, same God, you're the same, you're the
same God,
we're the same, yesterday, beyond today, now, beyond today, forever you will still remain, you're the same God, with the same story, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Have your seat. Praise the Lord. If He healed you once, He can do it again. If He healed you once, He can do it again. Hallelujah. Once is a proof that it can happen again. And again. And then again. And then again. And then again. And then again, doesn't say, but I healed you last week now. What is it now? You are stressing me. No! It's full of grace. Full of grace. And truth. Full of grace. Hallelujah. Some guys say, well, I've come out many times. They've laid hands on me. Come out again. He's not condemning you. Doesn't say, why are you coming out again? What I come to do? This disgraceful healing, potential healing candidate. No! Hallelujah! He does not emit condemnation. He does not emit it like, What is it? What is it? No! He's full of grace. Full of grace. Full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. If he could heal Marcus, who should have gone home the same? If not Marcus. Marcus had a creative miracle. And there was no scar in his ears. Like it was glued together. Did I see Mark? What happened to you, Marcus? It was down, it came up again. Jesus put it back and restored it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many times the reason why people don't receive healing, Brother Higgins calls it, you know, some blocks, mental blocks. You just have a belief somewhere, something in your mind, because of one experience that you had, because of something that happened to someone, something in your mind. And then it's called wrong thinking. And wrong thinking produces wrong believing. Wrong believing produces wrong speaking. You just believe wrong. And wrong speaking will give you the wrong results. Wrong thinking. Sometimes sometimes when your mind is on the wrong information, you pick up newspaper reports and you read about what they call fake miracles. Why are the papers not writing the real ones? The real ones overwhelm whatever you call fake. Overwhelm them. Years ago, I had heard about the Archbishop of Dahosa. Not that I heard, I didn't also like him. Because how would a preacher wear Agbada? I felt this is not of God. I was not a Christian when I felt that way. But it was for me a godly feeling from an unbelieving heart. And here was my brother lying down prostrate. He hadn't been up for days, I believe, almost not weeks. They had to carry him from place to place. And he was there on the sofa. And I saw Idahosa and you on OGTV. And I said, let me watch this man. They began to preach. I took my mind away from the cloth. And whatever I saw, he began to talk about Jesus and healing. I didn't like his face. But I took it because there was somebody here who should be interested in what he was saying. So I took my mind away from that. But then suddenly he said, there's a young man. And he mentioned our hometown. He said, Nejebode. I said, what? He said, you are the brother you're sitting beside. Hey, Jesus. He said, put your hands on him now. I said, put my hands on my brother. He got up. Why? My eyes are left my thinking. My mind left what I used to think. I was now thinking of getting him well. And so I forgot about that. When you are serious about a miracle, you don't read blogs. You are not serious yet. I went to someone's house who was asking to be ministered to. And I saw movies. I didn't waste my time. You want to be healed? You want to receive healing? And you are reading contradictory things. I said, when you are ready, read about the healing power of God. You have to take something off your mind. Hallelujah. He is the same God. I said, he's the same God. Millions all over the world are experiencing his healing power. He is the same God. Never listen to any contrary story. People get healed every day. Every second, every minute, in many nations, including this auditorium. Hallelujah. He's a healing God. His incarnation proved that to us. He healed, 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 healed. He kept healing. They came to arrest him, he was still healing. He's a healing God. In Acts 4, when the church was under persecution, Acts 4, and they threatened them. See their response. They said in verse 29, grant to thy servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. This is their response. And this is our response. In every nation, in every place, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Healing is also a response to persecution. Intellectuals fall sick. Those who are persecuting you fall sick. But the healing power is with you. Are you still there? In chapter 6, a deacon, Usher, Acts 6, 8 and 9, Stephen worked miracles amongst the people. In chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. And the Bible says, many were oppressed, they were set free. And many taken up of the passes were healed. And the announcement of Christ is the announcement of his healing power. Hallelujah. That's important. In the body of Christ, we have different kinds of meetings. And I've been saying this for a while. You need to know which meeting is this one. There are things we call teaching meetings, where we come together to hear the word. Acts 2:42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Teaching. You saw that. Acts 5:42. They cease not to preach and teach the Lord Jesus Christ from house to house. Acts 20:20. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I taught you publicly and from house to house. Teaching. In Acts 20, he taught them till Eutychus fell down and Eutychus was raised up again. Teaching. Jesus taught. He asked them to go make disciples of every nation. Matthew 28 verse 19. Teach. They're teaching meetings. People come together and we teach them. There are also evangelistic meetings where we go to where people are. Sometimes we can organize something for them to hear the word, but most of the time we go to them one on one. Go into all the world, Mark 16:15, and preach the gospel. Acts 8:5, Philip went down to Samaria to preach. Acts 2, verse 14 and 15, Peter lifting up a voice with 11. Said, men of Judea, hear ye my words. In verse 37, he said, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's evangelistic. We also have prayer meetings. Where we come, each one has his purpose and a particular response. In a teaching meeting, what you do is that you take your understanding there. You take your notes, your Bible, you want to write, you want to get information. In a prayer meeting, you don't take your Bible and notes to go and get information. In a prayer meeting, you go to pray. They lifted up their voice. In a teaching meeting, you don't lift up your voice. In one accord. That one, you probably won't say anything. But in a prayer meeting, you don't keep quiet. You listen. In an evangelistic meeting, the focus is to have the unsaved receive salvation. Each meeting has its purpose and a kind of response expected. Are you following what I'm saying here? We have what you can call a Holy Ghost meeting, also called the believers meeting, which was similar to what happened in Acts 2:1-4, where everyone spoke with tongues. Acts 2:4, filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues. Everyone heard a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And then the Bible says they appeared unto them, cloven tongues like a fire, verse 3, and it sat upon each of them. And that was demonstrated in Acts 13:2, where they came together, the apostles, the prophets and teachers. And then the Holy Ghost said in verse 2, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work we have to accord them. So in those kind of meetings, we have utterances, revelation gates. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, say, our we brethren, when you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. But there's also something called a healing meeting. Don't mix it up. I thank God that you're writing notes. It's beautiful. But in a healing meeting, hear this. In a healing meeting, what is required? Not a requirement, really, but what allows the meeting to flow and function. In a healing meeting, James gave us an idea. He says, if there are any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. He says, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Then he says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. Notice that. Faith. Raise up. So critical in a healing service is to receive. To receive. James said that. In Acts chapter 9, quickly. In Acts chapter 9, we find believers. A believer called Aeneas. In verse 32, it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. Saints, believers. And there among the saints, he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. So I say 8 years. So, which means he was attending church. He came for the meetings. But now, Peter came in here, and Peter said unto him, so he said unto him, you must learn to personalize statements in a healing meeting. Said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Then he said, arise, watch this, and make thy bed. What does he say next? And he what? That's the point. He acted on the word. Everyone who got healed in the four Gospels acted on the words of Jesus. He acted. He acted. Hallelujah. He acted. He acted. He rose immediately. And then the Bible says, the whole town, the whole city, they saw what happened, and they saw him and turned to the Lord. And then again, look at verse 36, a certain disciple. This is put in there for us to know that as believers, we must also be conscious of healing. Tabitha is the name. By interpretation of Dorcas, this woman was full of good works and harms, which she did. It came to pass in those days as she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And then Peter got there. And arose in verse 39 and went with them. And when he came, they brought unto him the upper chamber. How the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Peter put up. He did not join what they were saying. Like, so sad. Sometimes what you need is not sorry. Sorry. See, I have this very hectic, is a terrible, terrible pain. So, there's no power in heal. There's no power in that. Sometimes, in the bid to be compassionate, we drive the brethren to unbelief. What about saying, oh, glory to God, the power of God is working? It's working. Praise God. It's working. It's working. It's working. Peter couldn't take it. The Bible says Peter now knelt down and prayed. Why would you pray? Because prayer releases power, which includes healing power. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So, an important fact in a healing service is that the power of God is present and we must recognize it. You must recognize it. The power of God can be somewhere and you don't recognize it. You know, Do you know, Jesus did not heal everybody. Never get that wrong. He didn't heal everybody. He didn't go around healing people that did not want to get healed. No. In Luke's Gospel 5, go read that story from verse 17 and 16. He had just healed many that were sick. He went to preach in the synagogue. And the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal. But the people in that room were critics. A critic can be sick and they will criticize divine healing. And they were just critical. The whole room was full. Now, imagine the power of the Lord was present to heal and everybody in the room was full. And the power of the Lord was there. And Jesus was teaching. How did they know the power of God was present to heal? Because Jesus must have preached healing. But those guys were just watching. How can that be? There was a man who was paralyzed. He was not in the auditorium. And his friends, in Luke's Gospel 5, his friends now brought him in. His friends, they brought him in. In fact, the way they brought him was very interesting. They had to come through the roof. Not just come through the roof, they tore the roof. How would you see that and you not call it faith? So other guys just sat down there and they crossed their leg. Somebody tore the roof. And the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. He said, take up your bed and walk. You are whole. Because faith receives the power of God. Faith as an action. He said it. He said, take up your bed and walk. The power of God was there. In Mark 5, watch this. A woman who had an issue of blood, 12 years. You know, 12 years is enough to get used to something. 12 years. He said, you know that my problem now? That my blood thing. And the Bible says, she has spent all she had on many doctors with consultants. They started using her to train students. One year in final level, you say, and then maybe you're doing your internship, your house job. They say, five medical students. Yeah. Have you seen that woman? I saw her in my year 3, my year 4. Professor so-and-so will show you that woman. In case he asks you a question, this is the answer. They knew the answer. Now she spent all she had. She didn't go better. She grew worse. 12 years. 12 years. Don't say 12 years. It's a long time. But she was not hopeless. You cannot be hopeless. She was not hopeless. When she heard, you say something about faith. When you hear a testimony, it stirs you. She heard. Imagine if what she was reading on Facebook were terrible stories about Jesus. She read the right things. She heard. Then she said, if I touch his clothes, if I touch his clothes, if I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. The Bible says he kept saying it. So, here's Jesus. They had called him to the house of Jairus, whose daughter was sick. And then Jesus is going, and then everybody's pushing her, go, go, let him go, now let him die, Lord, what is it? And you know, ushers can be very brutal. Come on. So they can frown at you. I warned them many times, says God, calm down, bro. But they are doing their job. And they are moving. It's so stressful, that kind of crowd. With 12 guys, with a Judas there and a Thomas, and just wondering, what's his master? Why is everybody talking this guy like this? I don't tire. And then this woman, everybody, the interesting thing was everybody was touching the clothes. Everybody. Don't say, well, what's that meeting? They said the power of God. They said, me, I didn't fall, nothing happened. Clap for yourself. Hey, me, I was just nothing. I was just wondering. They were just excited. I thought the clothes of Jesus, there was nothing. It was just In fact, it's not really original. Critics never receive. The moment you start to analyze, you will not receive anything. They were touching. But that woman had said, if I touch his clothes, if I touch his clothes. A lady, I've fallen here in 95 or 6. I came to teach. She said, she kept saying, he will lay hands on me. He will lay hands on me. And I didn't lay hands on anybody. I just thought. But it got to a point. I discovered I kept going somewhere to give examples. Now, if you're a person of the spirit, you know what I'm saying. I just kept going there. I'll go back there again and give examples, give illustrations. Till I started doing like this, unconsciously. Oh, you know, the power of God is here. And that was where the dislocation was. And then she got healed immediately. For she said, he will lay hands on me. Whereas some other guys will have been sleeping in the same place. Glory! So, human reaction does not indicate whether the God's power was working or not. It's faith that gives direction to the power of God. Are you there? Jesus knew who touched my clothes. For virtue left me. They said, Master, stop this now. Ah, you tried again. This crowd. Ah. The woman came and she said all that happened. And the good thing about that story was that Jairus was there. He heard everything. He saw the woman's reaction. He saw her faith. As soon as they left the woman, they said, Jay, come. Be a man. Calm down. What happened? She's gone. And Jesus heard them. Said, Master, the daughter is dead. You know, we said sick before, but sick is not dead. He turned to Jairus. Do not fear. Only believe. Why did he say that? He had just seen a woman believe. Because he had seen it. In fact, Jesus responded immediately. You don't allow doubt to stay for 5 minutes. Immediately. As soon as that thought comes to your mind, I might not receive tonight. Say, no! I'll receive tonight. Immediately. And look at this again. You know, we're talking about critics. As soon as they got to Jairus' house, they found international anointed mourners.
And you left Jairus like this and the mother. I know the kind of amount of money they spent on her school fees.
Imagine crying like that. And Jesus showed up and said, she's sleeping. And then the switch was like rapture.
From
who is this guy? They laugh. Go and read the Bible. He says they laugh Jesus to scorn. That's not just laughter. You know the kind of laughter you go? You know what he did? He chased all of them out. Critics stand against the power of God. So if a critic is on your mind, you are imagining, you are thinking, you are analyzing, it stifles, as it were, the power of God. It does. Jesus drove them out. So watch what you say about the miraculous. Don't overanalyze. The miraculous happens.
Yes, sir.
Don't overanalyze. Don't overthink. It just happens. And people's faith. There's a time we're going for a meeting and we didn't even print. I'm not sure, guys, whether I printed the posters. We had a crusade. I don't think we printed the posters. I'm not sure. Maybe we did. Call up and tell us. And then they just were posting now the posters on the wall. And there was a woman. I think they said she was it a stroke? Huh? A stroke. And then they took her there and she just touched my picture. We didn't know anything about it. And then she got healed. Wait. Some other guys would have gone there and said, who is this guy? And he has a pain. See his suit. And somebody else goes there. So your desire locates you. That's the point. It locates you. It locates you. Hallelujah. It locates you. Your desire locates you. Praise God. So when you have something in your mind and you're still thinking like this, see, don't overanalyze. A miracle is a miracle. It's a miracle. That's what it is. The moment you can explain the details, it's no longer a miracle. It happens. It happens. You just check it, it's no more there. So I say, where did it go? That's not my business, it's no more there. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And it is what God gives graciously. It happens by telephone, by email, by reading. People will drink water, they will be healed. I tell you, when it comes to healing, anything. Jesus used spit, saliva, sand, water, just be healed. He is too compassionate for the details. People come to me, I say, I use anything. If you bring biro, I will pray on it, just be healed. Yes. I pray on water. I pray on clothes. I pray on anything. I just want you healed. I will sing any song in a healing meeting. I will sing Holy Spirit, come down. Just be healed. No room for analysis. That guy has to get up from that bed. That guy has to see. That death he has to open. Yeah. That cancer has to die. Yeah. That pain has to go. Yeah. No room for analysis. In the name of Jesus. We know he's alive. I know he's alive. We know he's alive. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forevermore. Sit down, give me 5 minutes. In a healing service, a desire gives direction to the power of God. Desire. Desire gives direction to the power of God. And quickly, because God uses men like he used Jesus, we must honor those men. Honor is very vital. Honor. Honor is why a healing minister will not be able to heal the sick in his own household. And other people elsewhere will receive. Jesus had gone around. Do you know, after this testimony that happened to Jairus' daughter when he raised her from there, and then the word of God, the next story was in his own town. They had heard stories about him and then they got offended. Some guys just get offended because God is using you. And they are being silly. I told you, you do not choose the person God uses. You don't do that. They got offended. And I said, who is this? Ah, we know you now. What's the big deal? Well, I was his PA now. I know him very well. We're in secondary school. And the Bible says, he could not do any mighty work. He marveled at their unbelief. He called dishonor unbelief. Dishonor is not just emotional. It is unbelief. The moment someone stands before you to minister the power of God, you forget where you knew him from. Focus on the power. Focus on the gift. Focus on the grace. Hallelujah. Focus on the gift. Focus on the grace. But thank God for Jesus. You know what he did? After he heard that, he now called his own disciples. He said, go around. There's a cure to this. He sent them to teach. They went around. They kept teaching. So when you minister to the sick and nothing happens, go back and keep teaching. He's too compassionate to let go. The Bible says in verse 12 and 13, they now anointed men that were sick with oil and then healed many in the same place. Hallelujah. In the healing service, recognize the power of God is present and honor that meeting. Everyone who received from Christ, they honor that ministry. They may not know him exactly. Honor doesn't mean you will know the person with epignosis. Obviously, when they asked them, who is this fellow? They said, he is John the Baptist. They had different opinions about him. Said, one of the prophets. But one fact is this, they received from him. They got healed. Hallelujah. Tonight is a healing service. And we're going to minister to people. Hands will be laid by faith. Hands will be laid by faith. By faith. And received. But I'm sure there will be a tangible power of God demonstrated. Tangible. In these meetings, we've had deaf ears unstopped. In our previous camp meetings, eyes opened. Limbs straightened out. I see tonight legs of people straightened out. And that's going to happen tonight. Hallelujah. Openings. Growths will be taken away. Hallelujah. Because the power of God is in demonstration. As hands are laid, faith is released. It has to happen. It has to happen. Hands are laid, faith released. The power of God is working. Healing happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in a healing service, there's honor. Honor for the service. Honor for the ministers. Faith is released in words. I believe I receive. And I am healed. I believe I receive. And I am healed. As hands are laid on me. I believe I receive. Glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. No analysis. No research. Just faith. Just faith. No analysis. No thinking through. Just faith. Faith. I believe that I receive. I believe that I receive. And I have. No analysis. No thinking. Just faith. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. What a healing Jesus.